Mr. Carter, reel 6. We've just got you to Meerut, and you're talking about the civilians that were helping you. How did you get on with the native population around you?
Well, we haven't much to do with them, right? Because we're in a cantonment. See, the city was out of bounds. If you go into the city, you're just in the cantonment.
So essentially, you only saw those that were working in the camp itself.
Yes.
Were you surprised by the culture that you were now amongst, the different culture from the English?
No, we weren't surprised, it was interesting in a way to see them, but the heat was the biggest surprise. But as I say, you needed at least a year to get climatized.
But did the heat affect your health in any way?
Well, Meerut was a very hot place in summer in October, and the married quarters went up on the hills. All the married quarters. At least half of them. We had. I didn't go up. The other company went up, Arthur Battalion went up, and my company didn't go up. We remained down, and we were to change over. But it didn't happen somehow, because I happened to take up a position at the school. You see, there's children there and married families at the school, and the bloke who'd been there, regular, had gone up the hills in that an hour, and they'd asked this Geordie, if he wanted, he was an old soldier, if he wanted to be at the school and take these children on PT or something like that. Not like you, right? So I thought, well, it's better than doing guards, right? So I volunteered and went.
What were your duties at this school that you got involved with?
Well, there was a woman teacher there, and you helped her if you wanted anything doing, and you took the children on a bit of PT and that. And one day she informed me that a medical officer was coming to RAMC, was coming to inspect, and see some of the children. And I got his name, she told me his name, and he struck a chord. And when he came, I said, "You were Major so-and-so, and you were in charge of the pneumonia ward in 1933. And I said, "I was one of your patients." And it was him, right? And he said, "Yes, that's right." Funny how you come across some people like that. Anyway, when the battalion came down and joined again, it was getting towards the cold weather, so then you went on field training and that. You started off with platoon training, company training, battalion training, and then brigade training. We did all that. I know we had a sergeant, he called him Peter Nick, he was a bit thick. And I was room orderly at the time, and I think they were on company training, night training. And it was map reading. Well, in the Punjab, it's very hard to get a focus on a point with for the map, you see. And of course, he was having trouble. And they came back, the lads, and I said, "What are you laughing at?" They were all laughing. Well, they said, "You know, Peter," he said, "there we were, he was trying to read the map, And he said he was sending very lights up left and right, trying to read the map. He said, so we sat down and started lit up. And he said, he turned round to us and said, put them cigarettes out, the enemy will see you. So they said, well, what about you? So we don't let them very lights up. And one of the lads, a wise cracker, said, well, why don't you send a blackberry light up? And he went to look in back for a blackberry light, you know. And they all burst out laughing. He knew he'd been taking the mickey out of blackberry light.
What was his surname again, Peter?
Nicholson. He ended his service and he got a job in Newcastle as a latrine attendant. That was his name.
Platoon training, what did that entail? What exactly was would a platoon be doing or trying to do in its training?
Well, they were just taking a sighting of rifles or a bit of bayonet training or map reading or anything like that. Any of that, of course, was... I didn't get up there with that year.
So that this move to the hills during the hot season, and
yes,
the idea was you spent so much up on the hills where it was cooler,
yes,
and switching round,
yes,
but you didn't get up, as you say.
Yes. Yeah. No, but down there, we got prickly heat badly. Oh, terrible. Prickly heat. I've seen folks with a knife scraping it off. If you get it in your feet, it's terrible. You go and lay under the tapper out like that. And you pray for monsoon. As soon as monsoon comes back, you strip off and go outside and it's grand. It all goes away, disappears. At any rate, I didn't get up that first year. The second year, we had the 1721st Lancers in barracks near us. Now, when they send half their battalion up, you see, they need, with the horses, they needed volunteers to go up and exercise them and groom them. So I thought, well, the groom's a bit better, might be a bit better there, and I won't be doing any guards, like. So away I volunteered. Of course, they gave me a nice quiet horse, went out on training and groomed it. Then they gave me a lead horse. That was all right. Then they gave me another horse. So I do it either side. So one day I reported at stables and my horse had gone. One of the lads said, well, your horse has gone to a blacksmith's. I said, that's all right. I'll take your lead horse. Put his saddle on, like. He said to me, he said, hey. He says, if you get on that horse's back, he says, you'll end up in Bombay. He says, that horse is only ridden once a year at the sports, and an officer rides it. So I got that saddle off quick, like. I got another horse. And another time I was out there, we were out exercising, and I had this horse. I said it was a beautiful horse, the big Australian horses. And it stumbled. And of course, the reins went out of my hand, and away went this horse. And squadron sergeant looked back at me with a black look, like. I never did like him. He was a surly bloke. I should have gone up and said to him, well, it wasn't my foot, but I was stumbled, and that was it. So that was another year I never got up.
So he spent quite some time with this horse duty.
Oh, yes, yeah. About 3 months. Hot weather, doing hot weather. Oh, yeah.
Did you have any problems with the natives during this period of time in India?
No.
You weren't called out on any civil unrest, anything of that nature, were you?
Well, we were there for that, and we practiced for it, and it was a farce, when you come to think. It was a farce.
What was the practice?
You went out full marching order. You were loaded with blanks. One man had one live round, We used to march out and we'd get the camp followers to act as a mob to come against us, right? And you couldn't fire. We couldn't fire on them till this Indian magistrate gave the order. That's dating back to that massacre at, where was it now?
1921 or something like that, wasn't it?
1919, that massacre in that Golden Temple place. We stationed there. And I think it dated back to then. And he could only give the order to fire. And he was to fire at the ringleader. Well, it was absolute chaos. I mean, that magistrate would never give the order to fire. He wouldn't have lived a day if he could do it that way.
Was the live round meant for the ringleader?
Yes. And the bloke who had it wouldn't know he was fighting a live round either. It was an absolute farce. Because I'll tell you later what did happen with one of the magistrates. But we did practice that a lot. Especially when Ramadan came up, you see, that's when they got festival, rather. Yeah, the big festival, Ramadan. Yeah.
Did the natives show their hostility towards the British?
No, they didn't.
I should have said, was there any hostility towards the British?
No, it wasn't. Not till years later, when Gandhi got going. That was later. But in the countdown. Torment. I mean, their lives depended, livelihood depended on the British troops, right? You had all these employed by them, Gobies and all that.
When you did get into the towns on your brief periods of leisure, what kind of leisure item things were there for you to do? What did you find to do?
We stopped in the cantonment.
We
weren't allowed in the city. We didn't go into the city. But we had one cinema. And then adjoining us was the RA. At the other side, the 1720 First Lancers were at one side of us, and the RA at the other. And they'd converted one of their barrack rooms into a cinema. So we were all right for pictures, right? And now. The cinema at the RA, you went in through the door, and the screen was just there, you see. And one of the lads had had a bit of he'd been on the beer. And he was with his swagger stick, you know, and as he come through, like, picture was on. And it was three of these natives on camels riding, you see, and he took his swagger stick and he said, "You black devils." And as he hit the screen, like, this bloke tumbled off. Of course, it raised a hell of a laugh, like, you know, he couldn't have time it, but it went like that, and this bloke tumbled off his camel, you see. But he got 7 days for it, man. Oh, yeah.
And did you have beer to drink in the cantonment
as
well?
We had a good canteen. But this it was run by this here, I think it was an Indian. He run everything. He run the dobies, he run the tailor, he was in charge of the nappy, who shaved you. Tailors, everything. And he had this canteen as well. I don't know whether the regiment got part of, I suppose they would, part of the taking.
Did you get introduced to Indian food, or was it still the basic army rations?
That's funny you say that, like, because the food was that basic, you know, plain, no taste at all, and they started putting tins of curry on the table, you see. I thought, well, try anything once, so I put a spoonful in the, it was took as I was made, you know, I think. Well, this filled that flame that I started to put curry in. I think that's what started a lot of Indian soldiers who had been out in India who liked curry when they came back. But it did brighten it up a bit. It did put a bit of taste in it. And I like curry today. A bit of curry in me skill, but it was very basic. I tell you, if that meat had been cooked, as it should have been cooked, it would have been all right. You could show your boots with it, some of it.
You'd have your own battalion cooks, did you?
Company
cooks?
Yeah. One was an Indian.
And were they cooks or just people who were told to go and cook?
Oh, they volunteered to cook. They were cooks, yes. Indian was paid, he was a paid cook. In fact, once we were out on detachment and we got him to make some rissoles and we paid him for it. He made some tasty ones, you know, and we were out to make them and we paid him. Yes, but... You had porridge for breakfast, maybe a bit of bacon. But the porridge had no sugar in and out of that light. But the old chowel was there with the cream, you know, in little cartons. And so we bought that and poured that in to make it a bit better. And talk about hygiene. Well, you know these tin bathtubs that you used to bathe in? Well, a company used to dip the utensils in that. You could imagine what it was like on the feast. You talk about hygiene, and nobody ever got food poisoning or nothing like that.
What were the...
And you have to watch, especially if you didn't know, because you were on the verandas, and there was all these here kite-hawks up in the trees. And at tea time, you went for your tea, maybe two slices of bread or something like that, and you took it to the barracks, and as you're walking, down would come the old hawk and off went your bread line. These new recruits, when they come out, if they weren't told, like, and someone weren't told, they lost the tea. Yeah.
They, I think, got an army title, didn't they, those birds?
Shake-offs. Yes, that was their title, yes. It is today, like.
What were the latrines and toilets like in the camp?
Well, the latrines were, there used to be a sweeper sat behind where you went into the latrine, like, and you could hear him at that, like. That's why, you were a bit frightened, like. But as soon as you finished, you whipped it away, like. And then the latrines were emptied by at night time. A water buffalo would be pulling one of these big tankers things, like. He was away with his head to that.
Well, they're pretty basic.
Basic, yeah.
And what were your relationships like with the Indians in that you met in the camp? As those are the ones you met nearly all the time.
Well, the chaplain was all right, but some of them tried to do him like, you know. He could go on kicking and, you know, wait till the payday, and some tried to do him. But I never did him, I always paid him. That was all right, I got on with him all right. Yes. There was a fruit water as well, he couldn't have any fruit.
And they didn't treat them harshly, did they?
Well, some of the lads were a bit rough with them, when, you know, which I didn't agree with. I mean, he had his job to do.
Did you get mail regularly from England?
Mail. Every 3 weeks. That was the best bugle call in the British. Come over there, that. Letters from Lousy Lou, letters from Lousy Lou. That was good, was that? Yeah, three weeks. Okay. Mind if, when you landed in India first time, you were put on half pay. You see, because your credits hadn't come through. took 3 weeks to come through, some of them men would be in debt, and some would be on half pay, and some would be on full pay, until they got the credits through, the quartermaster would only pay you about 5 rupees a week, which was about half pay. And as soon as the word came round, all the credits have come, they were all away to quartermaster, what am I in credit? And then they could go on to full pay if they were in credit.
Was the pay abroad in India a little bit more than what you've been getting in England?
Well, if you were save money out there, you could, in the bank, the post office bank, you could get 16 rupees to the pound, which was favourable. I joined it and I used to put so much in the bank then.
And you could manage on that money quite well.
Just then you're good coming on to more pay, like with you shorten that, your service pay when you got to 3 years, you'd be on about three bob a day then, right?
Was there still a great emphasis on regimental turnout and smartness?
Oh, yes. As soon as we got there, we were matched at Taylor's shop and we were fitted out with fresh KD and that. And we were given this here cork helmet, which is not the pith, but the cork one for that. That was for guard duties. It was your regimental one, you know. You had it to pay for as well. And they were given a set of leathers, lots of leather pouches and leather belts and all that.
Did you have a badge on your helmet?
We didn't have a badge at first. We just had the green round the turban, the green. But later on, another commanding officer had us put the regimental badge in the turban at the front, which looked a lot better.
What time was Reveille?
6 o'clock.
Same time as it would have been in England. Mm-hmm. And the routine after that, was it similar to England?
Oh, yes. You did all your drills and that while the cool weather was on in the morning. And then in the afternoon, well, after you had your dinner. This is during the hot weather. You went back to the barrack room and you rested the afternoon. You had quite a few openings in the verandas at either side, you know. And they used to put a framework, with coir, and they employed a young Indian to come along. He had some water, and he sprayed it onto that to keep it cool. And he was paid just a few pence, like a few. It did keep it a bit cool, like.
You didn't have someone pulling wafting the air for you.
Was this going as well?
These were electric, were they?
Yes,
yeah,
we had them.
The fans.
We had them, but 17th, 21st, they just had them pinkers going. But we had them fans going. And you filled your chatty up, that's an earthen vessel with water, and it didn't have to keep it cool. And then I thought you were drinking, like, pretty oft.
Was the water good? It was good, clean water, was it?
We never had any trouble with water, but this chatty water was very cool, and we drank it quite a lot. But we never went to urinal till late at night, you know, when it got cool. And then it was only a tingle. It had all sweated out of us, you know. Yeah, it was just a bloody tingle.
Did you suffer from flies? Were there a great number of flies and mosquitoes and that buzzing around?
We had mosquito nets, yes. Certain towns have put them up. Mosquito season, you put the mosquito net in.
Did you have to take any tablets for malaria or that kind of thing? Not where you were. No. You'd have had the part of your inoculations would have been from mosquitoes and
for yellow fever and malaria and that.
Any peculiar creatures that got into your snakes or that kind of thing? Did you have any problems with those, or were they about?
No, not in the cantonment. No sign. The only thing I saw was when the monsoon came, out of the earth came all these white, I don't know what you call them, like white flies, thousands of them. And it brought them to life. I've seen it on nature study, I forget what they call them. It's something to do with wood, eating wood.
What time of the year was the monsoon time?
June, July.
And was the drainage in the camp capable of taking the water away?
It flooded a bit, but it soon evaporated. Like, within a couple of days, it was all gone.
You weren't splashing around in mud or
anything?
What happened then in the monsoon? Were you able to do any duty, any parades, duties or what have you? Training?
No, we didn't go out in the monsoon. All that did was mount the guard. I think that's about all we did.
Basically, you'd just be in your barracks then whilst it came down. Yes. It got exceptionally heavy, the rain.
Yes.
But welcome, as you said.
Very welcome. Quickly eat.
The guards, what were you guarding?
There was a magazine there. The guard went to there. And then there was a quarter guard at the guard. And then if somebody had gone dull-lally, we mounted a hospital guard.
Now, what was dull-lally? Someone went dull-lally. What happened to them?
Supposed to have
had a touch of the sun. Like a sunstroke kind of thing, isn't it? And there was the senses.
And some of them were trying it on. They're that dull-lally to try and get the discharge, you see. So I did mount one guard, two blokes from another regiment. Was it one? He was in bed. And we mounted guard. There were three of us in the Lance Corporal. And one of us had to sit in, you see, a room with him. We took it in turns, like a changing order. Whether he would go lally or not, I don't know.
Was there a lot of it? Was it a problem?
This was the only case I came with the rest.
How did you, yourself and your comrades, how did you cope with the lack of female people around, female?
Yeah.
I mean, you were young, healthy men.
We had to do, but there was nothing to me about. I'll tell you later on what we did do.
Yeah, we can come to that when we leave Meerut, of course.
Was it Meerut? No, it was later on. It was Rosa Paul. I'll tell you about that later on.
Did they put bromine in your tea, these concoction to control your physical urges?
I don't know whether they did or not. But if they did, it's just begun to work now.